You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. 2020 might be best described as a season of uncertainty for Michigan's farmers. No sooner had the United States settled trade deals with China, Canada, and Mexico than COVID-19 disrupted the pulse of the international economy and key markets for Michigan goods. Not the easiest time to be starting a job as president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association, but Chuck Lipstrew is all in. We've invited him to talk to us about the range of trade and climate-related issues lining up for this year. Chuck Lipstrew, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, it's great to be with you, April. Thanks for the opportunity.
To say we had a wet year last year just doesn't even seem to come close to describing what happened to farmers who are walking out in the fields day after day and feeling that spongy, wet ground. What does last year's weather mean for farmers who are heading into spring?
Well, listen, 2020, as we head into the year, it truly is the year of uncertainty for Michigan agriculture and for many parts of agriculture across America. And you really nailed it. Extreme weather last year had a major impact on our agriculture sector here in Michigan. And again, that was pain that was shared in many parts of the country. But for Michigan and for Michigan agriculture, we experienced the wettest year in recorded history last year. So think about that, 120 years of record keeping, and this was the wettest year that we faced in Michigan. And it's also, by the way, it wasn't a one-off because we're in the wettest 3- and 5-year rolling average in our state.
So not just 2019, but going back to 2015, 2014.
Well, and even before that, we've seen what we've seen the last few years really represents a greater number of these extreme rainfalls in a way that we have not seen in the past. So what you'll have is massive variability in precipitation. You might have a month that's extremely dry, followed by several inches of rain that falls in a period of 1 or 2 days. That's hugely unhelpful for agriculture. It's a major problem for a variety of different segments of the economy. But for agriculture, what that does, needless to say, it prevents farmers from being able to do their job. But then you have a ripple effect throughout the agricultural system. Because you think about an organization like ours, the Michigan Agribusiness Association. So our members are, we've got about 400 members, and they're primarily businesses and industries that surround the farm and help the farmer get the job done. So ag retailers who are local businesses dotted throughout Michigan who are selling a farmer seed and fertilizer and chemistry and technology and providing advice and helping them get planted, get a crop grown, get it harvested and be successful, you can't be in the field with the farmer. So that's a major business impact for them. And then on, for example, on the transportation side, trucks, railroads that typically ship agricultural commodities or grain elevators that you see around the state, they have less to work with because production is down. So what you see is, you know, certainly farmers had a really difficult year last year because of the wet weather, the record wet weather. But what you see overall then is that ripple throughout the economy. And over time, as we see more extreme weather events, that becomes a major concern for the health of our industry and also for the economic benefits we provide in the state.
What are you hearing from farmers and ag businesses about climate challenges and what they're doing to adjust?
Well, on climate change, it's a huge challenge, right? But it's also an area where agriculture and agribusinesses and our sector as a whole is positioned like never before to provide solutions. And it is really incredible in the past 5 years to see the solutions mindset that farmers are bringing to this issue. And companies big and small, whether they're local ag retailers all the way up to some of the biggest companies operating in agriculture, are providing in this space. So think about technology, right? So often we talk about precision ag. So that's the technology farmers have used for 20, 30 years to make sure they're optimizing what they do out in the field and trying to grow a better crop, provide higher yields and look at profitability. Well, now we're using technology to really target what we do in a way that we really have never done before. So it's not just about yields and maximizing how much you grow. It's about targeting everything you do by the acre.
Can you give us an example of maybe how that might have helped out in a year like 2019?
Sure, absolutely. So think about farmland that might be marginal, right? So you might be able to produce something on that land, or you might be able to get a conservation benefit or prevent spending on inputs you don't need if you're not going to have a profitable outcome on those acres. So today, technology is able to help farmers look at how they can farm more productive acres more productively, right? So potentially using strategies that will help increase production on really good ground, but also then look at how can you use marginal farmland in ways that is going to help you from a profitability perspective.
So, for example, if you've got 200 acres that are just absolutely swamped and 200 acres that are viable, how do you arrange your plan so that you can actually get the most out of what you have and maybe figure out something useful to do with what you can't farm?
Sure. Well, that's right, and that's where the ag retailer comes into play too, because these are business owners, but they're trusted advisors to the farmers. So they might not be farming themselves, but they're coming out to provide the advice and the technology that helps the farmer target those acres and figure out what can we do with what we have. Now, unfortunately, when we look at 2019 specifically, you know, across the country, we had 20 million acres that went unplanted. It was a record, and it was devastating to the industry. So if you can't get into the field, that's a real issue that is tough to overcome. If there's water sitting on a field, that's a problem, which is why this extreme weather that we see is a major concern for the industry. But at the same time, we're in a place where there's a greater focus than ever on climate challenges, and there's more focus on climate solutions. And that's actually starting to play into the policy space a little bit too. There's actually, I think stateside listeners would be interested in this. Last year, the Senate Agriculture Committee actually held its first hearing on climate change and agriculture in a decade. And they had farmers out to Washington to talk about how soil health practices and ag tech and the work that they're doing to do a better job from a profitability perspective also then provides climate solutions. That's what's so exciting for our industry.
Chuck, last week we were talking with some business leaders working on the Michigan Compact on Immigration. They include several chambers of commerce, and I see that your association signed on too, asking for a conversation about the importance of immigrants in our communities. Why did your group decide to take part?
Well, listen, when we talk about 2020 as the year of uncertainty in our industry, it's not just the extreme weather, it's not just the economy, it's workforce. And this is an issue that isn't new for agriculture because immigration reform has been hanging out there for a long, long time. And the Michigan Agribusiness Association joined, as you mentioned, chambers of commerce across Michigan in signing the Michigan Compact on Immigration because we have to continue to elevate this issue. It's absolutely critical for our ability in agriculture to compete and to have people in all types of positions to be successful. And by the way, our workforce issues in agriculture run the gamut from extremely high-skilled positions, highly trained people out running machinery, for example, in the field, all the way down to just farm labor, more unskilled workers, like you might see harvesting fruit and vegetable on the west side of Michigan. There are workforce issues across the board. And immigration, of course, plays directly into that discussion. So we signed on to the compact because it's very clear that immigration is a federal issue that needs a federal solution. But importantly, it also calls out the value of immigrants for our businesses and our communities.
So when something happens like a border crackdown in the United States, are there actually tangible effects that has on farms in Michigan? Or are we talking about maybe a bigger psychological issue of, you know, maybe skilled workers asking themselves, why would I come to Michigan to work when I might be able to do something in California or even in Mexico?
Well, the overall issue with immigration as it relates to agriculture, and again, this is an issue that has gone on for years, is we have a broken system that doesn't provide farmers with clear rules of the road or the certainty that they need to bring in and retain farm workers. At the same time, you have immigrant workers across the country too often who are living in the shadows, who are contributing to the economy, but who don't have a viable pathway to permanent residency or any way to be within the boundaries of the law. And so certainly one element of immigration reform has got to be twofold. Number one, providing clear rules of the road for agriculture, for farmers and agribusinesses to make sure that they're complying with the law and that they're able to hire immigrant workers. But at the same time, making sure that for anybody who is in the United States, who wants to work on a farm and wants to contribute and make a living, that they're not living in the shadows, that they have a pathway, a very clear pathway, again, following the boundaries of the law, to work their way to permanent residency or beyond, but making sure that we value their contributions to business and to our communities, because immigrants in Michigan and across the country certainly aren't just living in our biggest cities, and they are. They're in small towns and rural communities and a huge part of the agriculture sector, especially when you start to think about things like ag processing and manufacturing. So we've got to figure out a way to fix what is a broken immigration system overall, but is certainly a broken system for agriculture.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Chuck Lipstrew. He has recently started his job as president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. Chuck, a lot of Michigan's growers and I guess grain elevators and other related businesses have very deeply entwined relationships with Asia for row crops and some specialty products, too. Do you know any whose sales have been disrupted by the coronavirus situation in Asia right now?
Well, I would really zoom out and look at our relationship with Asia overall and with China specifically, because, as you know, we've had some major uncertainty with regard to our ability to sell to China, which was our leading export market for several years, is a major destination for Michigan ag products and U.S. ag products. So trade overall is one of the pillars of uncertainty we see in 2020, because there's some bright spots, right? We have a China phase one deal in place.
That just got hammered out, yeah.
Just got hammered out. And so that is very good news for our industry. It helps to roll back. The hope is it will help to roll back some of the damage done in the trade wars. And then you have, so with any trade agreement, you have then issues of fulfilling commitments and enforcement of that agreement. So China indicated it would purchase between $40 and $50 billion in U.S. ag products. If realized, that's a record, right? So on paper, that's great news. And it really is promising. But as you mentioned, then you have other variables out there that are sort of in left field, and we don't know how they're going to impact our ability to trade and export with China. Coronavirus is a top example. Obviously, a huge issue, not just for agriculture, but for the global economy and for global public health, a very serious issue. And it's not clear what the impact's going to be quite yet.
So you're saying it's not certain whether China's going to be in a position to fulfill its agreements under the trade deal, depending on what happens with the virus?
That's been a concern unrelated to the coronavirus. Making sure that our trading partners fulfill their obligations is always something that we want to focus on and follow. But because it's such a strong commitment by China, between $40 and $50 billion is, again, as I mentioned, it would be a record if realized. You know, there's concern that we now need to meet those numbers, right? So on paper, it's great news, but time will tell whether we're able to fulfill those export goals and whether China will fulfill its import commitments. Now, we've seen some promising news in the last week or two that China continues to indicate that it wants to fulfill those goals, right? But when I talk about uncertainty in our industry, product isn't sold until it's sold and it's on a vessel and it's delivered to China. And that's where we really see the uncertainty out there from coronavirus, because that's still a developing daily and almost hourly issue, as you know, folks understand, I think. I think the overall thing to understand when listeners hear about trade with China and specifically on agriculture is there are some really bright spots with our ability to export again. We are seeing some steps back from the brink on the trade war, but it's just unclear how 2020 is going to play out.
What are you telling your members about what's realistic to expect this year?
Well, look, farmers and agriculture overall are optimists, right? People are excited, I think, to get back out into the field in 2020, are hopeful that we won't have the type of disaster in terms of wet weather that we had last year. Obviously, again, time will tell. We can't forecast every day or a whole season. But folks are, you know, they're ready to get back out in the field. They're hopeful. And also we've seen, I think, some bright spots in the overall outlook for the ag economy. So in the past few years, it's been really tough, as you know, and I think we're starting to see some areas where we can bounce back. That's the hope for 2020.
And in an election year, what are you telling Michigan's elected officials and maybe some of the candidates you're coming in contact with about what they need to know about Michigan's ag economy?
Well, we're telling everybody who will listen that Michigan agriculture is a pillar of our state's economy, and certainly we're in a really uncertain time. And that continues. It's been ongoing for several years with a down agricultural economy. And 2020, as I mentioned, it really is the year of uncertainty. So from an economic perspective, we have to trade and we have to export. It's our top priority right now as an association and in agriculture. We have to make sure we're positioning the agriculture industry for economic success. And to be successful, we have to be able to sell products around the world. That's absolutely critical. On environment, we're telling everybody who will listen that agriculture is excited to be at the table and looks forward to being at the table on major environmental issues facing our state and our country and the world. And as I mentioned, climate solutions is just one area where agriculture can use technology and deliver real solutions and measure the results. It's an area that will be a priority for us, and it's a priority for the industry. And then third, we're talking about workforce. We have to be able to hire. And it's not just immigrants, by the way. It's being able to develop leaders in our industry, bring people into the industry who might not have thought about agriculture as a career, and making sure we have a strong workforce for the future. So those are some issues that we're really highlighting across the board, whether or not it's we're talking to a stakeholder group or elected officials or candidates or anybody else.
You know, we were talking with an economist yesterday, Charlie Ballard with Michigan State University, who noted that the role of agriculture in Michigan's broader economy is often stated in terms of things like the retail sale of food and the financial services that serve the agriculture industry, using painting with a pretty broad brush, counting transportation jobs and marketing jobs that may or may not hinge entirely on farming. If we do accept the broad definition and if we keep calling agriculture a pillar of Michigan's economy, are we being honest about the experiences of farm families, many of whom today need a diverse range of incomes to sort of have a life?
So I'm really glad you called the Michigan Agribusiness Association about this issue, because most or close to all of our members are in some of the sectors of the economy that you just mentioned, manufacturing of food products, transportation, trucking and rail, construction, finance, insurance, wholesale, professional services. We've got CPAs and attorneys that work with farm families, as you mentioned, every day. All of those sectors, and by the way, we have about 400 members, all of those sectors rely in some way on the ability of our farmers and those farm families that you mentioned to be able to produce a crop and produce products that people need. So it starts with agriculture, and it does start on the farm. That's absolutely right to say. And I think we need to be absolutely clear that for farm families, it's a really uncertain time. And we need to think about some of the issues we've talked about today to make sure that they're able to do their job. But then understand, and let's be very clear, agriculture is absolutely a pillar of the economy, and it's one of our top industries in the state, because the success of our farmers in Michigan then sparks so much more economic activity that is directly linked to the transportation, use, manufacturing, and delivery of those products.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us about this.
Thanks so much.
Chuck Lipstrew is president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association.